I want to say thank you to the congregation for having me here. I appreciate the invitation very much. I've enjoyed it thoroughly. Thank you to Ken and Brenda for opening their home. I just walk in and say, Ma and Pa, I'm home, and there I am, and they take good care of me, and I appreciate that. I had other invitations to stay with folks. I appreciate that. I'd love to stay with each and every one of you, but sometimes that's difficult. Thank you to the Gaskins for opening their home. That was wonderful. I enjoyed very much the time together, the hard work, the good food. I've got traces of it on my shirt, and enjoyed it very much being with you. I want to study a thing tonight that's from a different perspective, 1 Kings chapter 13. If you're familiar with this chapter, you know there's a man of God. We refer to him as the young prophet. We really don't know how old he was, but we refer to him that way. God gave him a mission, and he went out to carry out that mission. And we're going to talk about the mission that God has given you today. I want you to know from the very beginning that you have a mission beyond just getting yourself to heaven. You have a mission to take someone with you there and to influence someone in this life so you take someone with you to heaven. In the book of 1 Kings chapter 13 and verse 14, the Bible says, "And went after the man of God and found him sitting under an oak." I want you to think for just a moment in your mind about this prophet. God's given him a mission, and he's sitting under the shade of an oak. And there he sits. The Bible says, "And he said unto him, Art thou the man of God that came from Judah? And he said, I am." I wonder why he was sitting there. He had a mission. He had a task he was given. And he sits. In the book of Ecclesiastes chapter 3, and there beginning in verse 1, the Bible says, "To everything there is a season, and a time to every purpose under the heaven, a time to be born, and a time to die, a time to plant, a time to pluck up that which is planted, a time to kill, and a time to heal, a time to break down, a time to build up, a time to weep, a time to laugh, a time to mourn, a time to dance, a time to cast away stones, a time to gather stones together, a time to embrace, a time to refrain from embracing, a time to get, a time to lose, a time to keep, a time to cast away, a time to rend, a time to sow, a time to keep silence, a time to speak, a time to love, a time to hate, a time of war, a time of peace." What time is it? What time is it here in Lubbock, Texas? There's a lot of people sitting here. A lot of people are hearing my voice. Probably a lot of opinions. I will give you an evangelist opinion. It's time to be going. It's time for effort. A very special time. I see tremendous growth in this community. I wouldn't be surprised if you didn't have 50 people visit this meeting this weekend from this community. I'll tell you, that's a great opportunity. That tells me this is a great time. I think this is a time to grasp the plow and to work. A time to press head ahead for home. I see tons of new people, and I want to talk to you for just a moment about the mission. In the book of 1 Kings, chapter 13, you might keep your finger there, beginning of verse 7. "The king said unto the man of God, Come home with me and refresh thyself, and I will give thee a reward. And the man of God said to the king," the man of God is about to reiterate his mission. He says, "If thou will give me half thine house, I will not go home with thee. Neither will I eat bread nor drink water in this place, for so it was charged me by the word of the Lord, saying, Eat no bread, nor drink water, nor turn again by the same way that thou camest. So went he another way, and returned not by the way that he came to Bethel." This young man was given a charge, and he told the king, "I'm here to do it. I'm here to do my job." and do my work. And I hope you have that attitude today, because I'm going to tell you, every one of you here is at a different time in life. Some of you are very young. Some of you are not so young. Some of you are in days of arthritis and aches and pains and failing memory. I'm going to tell you, some of you are in the prime of life. And I'm going to tell you, God expects something different from each of you. He expects you to take up the plow and use your talents and your abilities, whatever they be. In 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 15, he says, "Sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear." We have a responsibility to be ready to tell people about our Lord Jesus. You don't have to tell every question that you are given. You don't have to tell a perfect answer. Because I'm going to tell you, people are going to ask you crazy questions about crazy things. But what you do have to be able to answer is, why is there hope in you? Why do you think you're going to go to heaven? In the book of Matthew chapter 5 and verse 14, he said, "You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." We've discussed pretty frankly and openly this week how that we're living in a dark world. A world of sin and moral decay. And I want you to understand something, that the darker and darker the world gets, the more the church shines as a light, as a beacon. Oh, you shine. We shine as sanity in the midst of chaos, as hope in the midst of hopelessness. You are that light. Brethren, you are that light. We need to embrace that. We need to embrace the fact that you have the truth. Do you believe that? Do you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? Do you believe that forgiveness is through His name? Do you believe in repentance through baptism for remission of sins? I pray, God, you do. And I pray, God, you'll stand up for that and tell other people about that. Folks, this is all hands on deck time. Who is teaching the truth in Lubbock, Texas? You know, I don't know how many churches are in Lubbock. Hundreds. How many are teaching the truth? It's time. The light of the truth is right here, and God's kingdom desperately needs you. Desperately need you. In Luke chapter 9 and verse 57, Luke 9 verse 57, "It came to pass that as they went on their way, a certain man said unto him, Lord, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. And Jesus said unto him, Foxes have holes, and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. And another said, and he said unto another, Follow me. But he said, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. And Jesus said unto him, Let the dead bury their dead, but go thou and preach the kingdom of God. And another said, Lord, I will follow thee, but let me go first and bid farewell to them that are at my house, at my home, which are at home at my house. And Jesus said unto him, No man, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. These people were all distracted. These people, as they were going along, well, I want to follow you, Lord. I want to do what you say. But I got this little issue. And I've got that issue. And these were pretty serious issues. One man said, I need to go bury my father. He said, you go preach the kingdom. And I want to tell you something. We are guilty of giving ourselves a pass for not doing what the Lord has asked us to do. We give ourselves a pass and say, well, I'll invite them to the next gospel meeting. I'll make sure I talk to them next week. I will make a point to ask them to do a Bible study next time. I'm going to tell you, Jesus didn't give these people the pass. He gave them a warning. Don't look back from the plow. It's not a time to be sitting under an oak. It's not a time to enjoy the shade. It's not a time to say I'm tired. It's time to work. It's a time of opportunity. This opportunity may not be here forever. Y'all, the prophet had a plan, and he had a need to implement that plan. In 1 Kings chapter 13, and there verse 1, Bible says, behold, there came a man of God out of Judah by the word of the Lord unto Bethel, and Jeroboam stood by the altar to burn incense. And he cried against the altar in the word of the Lord and said, oh, altar, altar. Well, I'm going to take a couple of things. It's pretty simple, but the man went. The word of the Lord came to him and said, go. And he went. And I want to ask you a question. Has God told you to go? Did he say, go talk to your friends and neighbors? Did he say, tell them the gospel? Did he say, preach to every creature? You bet he did. He said, go. This man went. He stood against the king. He stood against the king. He took personal action. Individual action. I want to tell you, we need that today. We need each of you to take personal action and reach out to someone that you know. In the book of Luke chapter 19, beginning in verse 1, the Bible says, Jesus entered and passed through Jericho, and behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was the chief among the publicans, and he was rich. And he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and could not for the press, because he was little of stature. Zacchaeus was an intelligent man, a prosperous man, a hard-working man, no doubt a busy man. He wanted to see Jesus, and you know what? He couldn't see him because he's just too short. The Bible says he ran before and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. And when Jesus came by to the place, he looked up and saw him and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. And he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. Individual action. I want to see Jesus. And if I don't do something, I'm not going to see Jesus. So he climbed a tree. Oh, how old he was. He's a grown man, I guess. He climbed a tree. And there he was. I want to tell you something. Individually, there is something you can do. Something. There's someone you can talk to, or someone you can tell, or someone you can open the Bible to. We sometimes get squeezed into a mode where we do the same thing over and over and over. Well, you know, break out of the box a little. I heard about a congregation not too long ago. The women of that congregation decided they were going to give a loaf of bread, homemade bread, to every home in town. And they got together once a month. They baked little loaves of bread. They packaged them up. And it said something about the bread of life, and every home in town got a loaf of bread. I'm going to tell you, there's something you can do. Individually. Individually. Get up and do something. What can you do? Well, do it. Whatever you can do. It's time to do it. We need to also do things collectively as a team. In 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and there verse 1, he said, we then, as workers together with him, beseech you also that you receive not the grace of God in vain. For he saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted, In the day of salvation I have succored thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. Giving no offense in anything, that the ministry be not ashamed, but in all things approving ourselves as the ministers of God, in much patience, in affliction, in necessities, in distresses, as in stripes, in imprisonments, in tumults, in labors, in watchings, in fastings. He says, we then as workers together. You know, a congregation, Massachusetts, they put their heads together and they said, we're going to rent a local movie theater. And they went and negotiated and rented this theater for one day. That little community had a citywide fair and they gave out free tickets to a movie. 200 tickets they gave out. It was a movie about Jesus Christ. I don't know what movie it was. They give all those tickets out. You know how many people came to see that movie? 54 people came to see the movie. You know how many names they left with? 40 names of people they could go visit. 40 names of people they could go offer to study the scriptures with. Will they study with 40 people? Probably not. I'll tell you, they may study 20 though. So don't get crammed in the box where we always think in the box. Let's think out of the box a little bit. Let's think as a team. What can we do together? Let's communicate and let's pray. If it's door knocking, fine. If it's a movie, great. If it's bread, well then it's bread. Collect names and give them to the leadership. Volunteer to go on a study. Have you ever asked the elders of this congregation, what can I do? Why haven't you asked that? What can I do? Finally, I want to talk to you about the finish. 1 Kings 13 and verse 10. This prophet, the Bible says, he went another way and returned not by the way which he came to Bethel. Now there dwelt an old prophet in Bethel, and his sons came and told him all the works that the man of God had done that day in Bethel, the words which he had spoken unto the king. Them they told also to their father. And their father said unto them, what way went he? For his sons had seen what way the man of God went, which came from Judah. And he said unto his sons, saddle me the ass. So they saddled him the ass, and he rode thereon. And he went after the man of God, and found him sitting under an oak. And he said unto him, art thou the man of God who came from Judah? And he said, I am. Now you probably recall the rest of the story. This old prophet, he lies to the young prophet. He said, I'm also a prophet. And he says, God told me you can come home with me, it's okay. And of course, the younger prophet believes this lie and he goes home with him. And then the word of the Lord comes to him and he says, you're not even going to make it home. But I'll submit to you today, if he would have headed on home, he would have made it home. I want to tell you, this is a time to finish. To finish. It is a time to finish. Finish your life giving all the effort you have. If you got a year to live, then let's finish. If you got 5 years to live, then let's finish. If you got 10 years or 20 years, let's flex our muscles and let's push and let's plow. And let's go from one individual to another and let's tell them about our Lord. And if they say no, then they say no. And let's pick up and let's go on to another one. And let's let our light shine. This man fell short because he sat down. Ask yourself this question. Have you been sitting under the oak tree? Or have you been pushing for home? In the last few weeks, few months, have you been actively working in God's kingdom? Or have you been sitting around? Paul said in Philippians 3, verse 13, "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto the things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." It's time to press. Press on. Will there be setbacks? Absolutely. Are there going to be discouragements? Sure. There are going to be folks come here and get going and fall away, and we're going to have to go out and find some more. We're going to invest time and effort in people and study and watch them grow to see them lured away by Satan into the world. But it's time to press. It's time to go. In the book of Jeremiah chapter 12 and verse 5, it's become one of my favorite passages of Scripture. He says, "If thou hast run with the footmen, and they have wearied thee, then how canst thou contend with horses?" You know, if we've been going along here and running the race of God with the foot soldiers and we're getting tired, well, how's it going to be when the horses get here? When the mounted cavalry? How's it going to be when times get tired? I want to tell you, times are good now. You got a lot of great things going. Times are good. What about the days when things are not so great? And we look back on fields that were white and we didn't go to work. In 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 12, he says, "Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life." This is the time. It's time for you to rise up, brethren. To flex your muscles. You who are young, it's time. It's time for you to take the plow. You who are middle-aged, it's time to use your strength and experience. You who are older, it's time to use the experience and wisdom that you have, and let's press toward the mark. It's a great time. In Romans chapter 8 and verse 31, "What shall we say then to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things?" I suppose we live in some of the greatest days. We live in a time when it's easy to travel. We live in a time when it's easy to study God's word. We live in a time when we are socially connected to thousands and thousands of people. God will require this of us. We have been blessed with tremendous opportunity. We're not riding to church in horses. We're not communicating by letter, by snail mail. We live in a modern age and we need to work. It's not time to sit, brethren. It's time to roll. If we can help you to do that today, it'd be an honor. We don't know what's happening in your life, but I'll tell you this. Whatever problems you have, it'll bless you in your life to get up and go to work. Those problems will be less important if you strive to help other people become a part of the kingdom of God. If we can help you in some way, through prayer, through a study of God's word, we'd love to do that as we stand and sing.